They enjoyed
three months later.
He was in the legislative district.
Need to make some announcements first. Today, of those seven, Senate Bill 778 was not ready from council yet, and so we'll hear it some later date. 973 was pulled, and 3311 has been pulled, the request of the sponsors. So this morning we'll start with a public hearing on House Bill 2881.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House Bill 2881, you should have received yesterday in your meeting material packets a dash 2 amendment now that replaces the original bill. It does direct the appropriate interim committee to study issues related to the management of stormwater and sediment control in Oregon. It directs the committee to study specific issues, including the need for general standards for local governments to follow, establishing risk factors to determine stormwater management problems and solutions, along with fees linked to those risk factors, whether to restrict the level of fees charged, whether to require local governments to collect the fee to fund the state's monitoring efforts, to develop a set of model rules, and in addition, whether a different regulatory structure should be applied to small sites located within urban growth boundaries. It does name the Department of Environmental Quality as the technical support for the interim committee, and it does repeal this effort December 31st, 2001. I do want to point out one thing on the dash 2 amendments, page 1, line 5. The drafting does say appropriate joint interim committee, and it would be my understanding that your intention was to allow the appropriate interim committee, not necessarily a joint one, this being one of the few joint committees around the building. So you might want to consider whether or not you want to leave the word joint in line 5.
Does everyone else have dash 2s? I
do. Do you have an extra set of them?
Okay, Chair will call John Chandler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. John Chandler, Director of Governmental Affairs for the Oregon Building Industry Association, here in support of House Bill 2881, the dash 2 amendments. We again like to express our appreciation to DEQ for the work they put in helping turn the original bill into a much better product. We believe these amendments will help get our hands around the issue of urban stormwater management, which, as I mentioned to you last time, is going to be an increasingly complicated and critical issue for our industry and for the state. I would like to mention very briefly, Mr. Chairman, the purpose for the, on page 2, lines 2 and 3, the addition of little letter F. That was something we discussed very briefly last time as another amendment to the bill. We have another bill, House Bill 2882, which will no longer be moving because of this amendment. And what we're trying to get at there with this, the small site issue, is the fact that environmental regulations applied to development in terms of their impact on the development vary based on the size. If you're doing a 300-lot subdivision, then doing stormwater detention ponds and various runoff control and downstream analyses and whatnot. Really, it may be annoying, but it doesn't stop the project. If you're trying to do that same level of environmental regulation on a three-lot infill project, oftentimes it will have the effect of killing the project. What we're trying to get at with this is to ask the committee to look at whether or not there should be a different set of standards because of Oregon's land use system. If we're going to have urban infill and the focus on density, then I think you need to have a conversation about the environmental regulations as those two collide. We're trying not to prejudge the outcome, but simply to have that conversation. We also changed the bill in accordance with the commission's current expressed by the committee regarding the task force versus committee. With regard to whether it should be a joint committee, I'll defer to this body as to what she wants to do. I know there will be several joint committees that probably have the appropriate level of expertise. And if it, the committee feels it's too limiting to keep it to a joint committee, we have no problem removing that. Again, thank you very much for hearing the bill. We'd be glad to take any questions.
Any questions? Chandler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I also wanted to point out that we did, this amendment does take out the language with respect to the voting quorum situation. It remains silent just because it is an interim committee that would require a majority of the appointed members to pass any recommendations out.
John, I've got 1, 2, and 3 amendments. Are you supportive of all three of those amendments, dash 1, 2, and 3?
There shouldn't be a dash 2 unless...
Well, I should be a dash 3. There shouldn't be a dash 3. Dash 1, 2, 3 amendments, even if it's a long bill. I'm sorry.
I won't. Good thing it's our last meeting. Any other questions, comments, Mr. Chandler?
I got two.
Cindy Morgan.
Should there or is there something in here that tells when the committee's supposed to be done and who they're supposed to report to?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, by virtue of the way the interim committees automatically operate, Jeanette did remove the language that would specify. It does repeal the effort, if you'll see on page 2, lines 8 and 9. It does repeal it December 31st, 2001. And just by virtue of the way the interim committees operate, they would pre-session file recommendations and that sort of thing. So actually, she removed any language that was more specific to a task force, knowing that the interim committee rules and procedures would cover those sorts of issues.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to speak to this bill? No, we'll close the hearing. Then we'll stand at ease for a second while we find the co-chair. Did you have a call? Here, put a balloon on him and his tree. Senate Bill 1166.
Hey, I got dash 3 to that.
Judith, would you like to introduce 1166?
That's probably for a different bill.
I'm not
doing
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair members. Senate Bill 1166 deals with outstanding resource waters. you should have a dash three amendment. Now, in the original bill, section one, it still defines high quality waters, means those waters that meet or exceed the levels that are necessary to support the propagation of fish, shellfish, wildlife, recreation in and on the waters and other designated beneficial uses. That remains. The dash three amendment deletes the rest of the measure. If you will look on your dash three amendment, page
we don't
two.
We don't have them down here.
My apologies. We sent around a meeting material yesterday to give you guys an opportunity to see these, have more of a review, and I understand they might not have gotten into your folders.
Yeah, I don't think
anyone else that does not have a dash three amendment? Okay. Okay, so if you look on page two now of the dash three amendment, starting on line 17, basically it shows you there that basically it directs that in order to designate any waters of the state as outstanding, the Environmental Quality Commission must find that given current levels of development and economic activity, that in addition to any other criteria the department has, the waters are high-quality waters if they meet the following criteria. That is, they're essentially pristine, exceed all applicable water quality standards. They're not identified as water quality limited under 303B, and they provide extremely high-quality and very productive aquatic habitat.
Okay, we'll call Gene Wilkinson and Pete Test, please.
Good morning, Chairman Hedgerly, members of the committee, and Jean Underhill Wilkinson with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Well, we're back with 1166, and we have compromised. The amendments that you see in front of you are different from the amendments that were proposed before, dash one, in that two requirements are taken out because DEQ had a problem with especially the criteria that we had before, which was support wild, native, and endemic fish species, because they presented that water body by Crater Lake, and that's one water body that the public generally agrees that probably should be designated as an outstanding water body, that criteria would prohibit that type of water body from potentially being designated. So we took that out. Also, the criteria that are among the top 5% of water bodies in Oregon with respect to qualities described in the subsection, I think that was a confusing requirement, and some folks had some problems with it, so we took that out as well. I thought that with the new amendments, it would be a lot more palatable, and it would be something that we could all agree on. I think DEQ might still have a problem with it because of the requirement that the water body provide extremely high quality and very productive aquatic habitat, which is requirement C. Well, I was looking at this criteria that DEQ has come up with for their program, and it's a little bit... It's pretty involved, but I was looking here. If the outstanding value that is identified by the petitioner for designation of a outstanding resource water, if the outstanding value has to do with habitat, DEQ's current criteria says that the outstanding habitat must support one or more wild native populations and should meet, in addition, one of the following criteria. The proposed habitat must support rare, endemic, or isolated species, or the habitat must support rare, sensitive, threatened, or endangered species, or the habitat must have extremely high quality, very protective habitat, or the habitat must be unique or outstanding and support a wild native species or community. Now, if the outstanding value relates more to water quality, then you fall into a different box, and one of the following additional criteria must be met. The habitat must be critical, or it must provide it must be habitat of an outstanding nature, meaning that it must be unique, distinguished, or conspicuous among others of its kind for a wild or native species, or there are other characteristics demonstrated to be unique, distinguished, or conspicuous among others of its kind. I know that might be a little bit difficult to grasp, and it is for me too, but I think the point that I'm trying to make is the criteria that we put in this statute is far more lenient than the criteria that is proposed by DEQ in these boxes. So I think that the amendments that we've proposed verify the outstanding resource waters can be designated, and they should be the best of the best water bodies. It's consistent with federal regulation that requires high-quality waters that constitute an outstanding national resource to be maintained and protected. It's consistent with the Oregon Plan because it allows water bodies with outstanding values to be protected that are not listed on the 303D list, and meet all the water quality standards. They can be designated and protected as they deserve, such as water bodies like Crater Lake. This type of criteria.
Can I ask a question? Sure. You keep mentioning Crater Lake, because if I understand right, lake wouldn't qualify in this because it doesn't have any fish in its natural state. Crater Lake wouldn't qualify. Cascade, those lakes are just basically have no fish.
We changed it from the initial.
Chairman Mezzoli, Representative Thompson, we have amended the proposed bill to take out the fish requirement. Yes.
Maybe I misunderstood here.
We took it out. So that concludes my testimony.
Okay.
Are there questions?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, just point of clarification. If you're looking at the dash ones, correct, on page 2 of the dash ones, starting in line 26, the support wild, native, and endemic fish species is removed, as well as the requirement that they are among the top 5% of water bodies in Oregon with respect to qualities described in the section. Well, I'm just pointing out the difference between the dash ones and the dash threes. The dash ones included the fish species, and the dash threes, which are before us now, do not include that.
Yes, Senator King. Is there a need to have this kind of definition of waters that are in a wilderness area? I ask it in part because, the high altitude, snow runoff, is clearly, pristine. And it's important to, having cold water down lower, but, they don't necessarily have any fish in them while they're up that high. But at the same time, they have, in Oregon, they're typically all protected by wilderness rules, and I'm wondering if, that's an area that needs, protection, like, with this definition, or because it's wilderness that already has that protection.
Chairman Mezzoli, Representative King, I agree that I think if water bodies are already protected by some regulations to give them proper protection that they need, why have overlapping regulations? In this case, it might be federal regulations that's designated as a wilderness area might already have federal government might be governing that area and protecting it. And why have a state program overlapping that does the same thing? It might be unnecessary. But I think that probably under DEQ's outstanding resource water program that they're putting together, I think that a water body like you're describing, even though it's already regulated, probably could be designated as outstanding.
Follow up? And also, if we look at Waldo Lake, which is, you know, the other pristine lake in the state, it doesn't have fish. And so, in many ways, that body of water itself is not, you know, productive aquatic habitat. But it feeds the North Fork of the Willamette River, which, you know, is pristine and does, and that's part of, you know, the cold water we need, you know, in the entire Willamette Basin, and therefore it does downstream provide habitat. So would we be considering a body like Waldo that maybe in itself as a body doesn't fit this definition, but is a part of the entire watershed that it has?
Chairman Mesley, Representative King, that certainly might be a consideration. Also, aquatic habitat means all kinds of aquatic species, and I can't even begin to name you because I'm not an expert in it, the aquatic species that Waldo Lake might support. But aquatic habitat does not necessarily confine it to fish habitat. Aquatic habitat can also mean, also include the vegetation along the along the sides of streams and sides of water bodies that support end up supporting aquatic habitat. It can mean habitat within the water body itself and habitat on the outside of the water body as well. So it's very broad.
And Waldo is unique in that it's virtually distilled water, and so almost nothing lives in it. It's distilled. I mean, you could almost sell it as distilled water. So, you know, which brings another point then when we start establishing this, and that isn't on federal property, that when we had a fire there about, oh, 3 or 4 years ago, that, you know, here we had the pristine waters, and then we come in and, you know, bomb with retardant to fight the fire. I'm wondering if that, you know, this kind of ruling might supersede that kind of ability to manage, and I don't know whether we should or not, but I'm just wondering how you define that.
Chairman Mesley, Representative King, I think that the situation where you're describing, if a water body is designated as outstanding resource water, then potentially the uses that affect that water body and potentially could degrade that the quality of that water body may be prohibited, including the fire protection that you may be passing about. This proposed bill, that will happen whether or not this proposed bill is passed. DEQ has put this program together, and this program will go forward, and water bodies will be designated as outstanding. This proposed bill does not give additional authority to DEQ to do that. The main point of this bill is to make sure that the best of the best water bodies are designated and that we don't have a situation where we have water bodies designated that currently aren't meeting water quality standards and are labeled as impaired water bodies. We strongly believe that water bodies deserving this type of designation and potentially prohibiting all the uses of that water body and around that water body to protect it completely from potentially any degradation whatsoever should be water bodies that are currently meeting the water quality standards established by the state.
I think I have one last one.
Okay.
And so when we're saying current water bodies, in the future, let's say we do some habitat recovery and what is not today a pristine water body becomes very pristine. You know, this doesn't preclude, you know, us returning to that state, is that correct?
Chairman Mesley, Representative King, that's absolutely right. As water bodies are improved and the habitat is improved and all the qualities of the water bodies are improved and they meet water quality standards, then they are in the running for petition and potentially designation of outstanding.
Representative Johnson?
The reason right here was
why I'm still opposed to this, even though it's got the fish language. Anytime you have particularly high quality water in the Cascade, habitat, the animals that live in the water don't prosper. Opposing ideas here. If you think about it, you can't have both. And so, I know what you're trying to do, I think. I don't think we got here quite in the wording. Also, both productivity of vegetation around the edges of them. If you've ever spent any time up there in that area, because of the snow packs in the winter, there's just a little bit of brush and very little grass mixed with the lake. So for that area, this would definitely be a problem with this wording.
Would
you like to respond to that?
Chairman Mesley, Representative Thompson. I agree with some of the things you're saying, and it's scientifically, we're learning a lot about streams, and some of our eastern Oregon streams don't have a lot of vegetation around them currently. They're more, they're fully functioning at times. What I'm learning is sometimes they are fully functioning when they just have grasses along their edges, and they don't have willows or other type of larger woody vegetation that we normally think is a sign of a really healthy, fully functioning stream. So I think that there are water bodies that may have productive habitat where the vegetation might be more sparse than we normally would think. So I think we do have to be a little bit, we are learning more about that scientifically. Also, with regard to the water quality standards, I really agree with you, and that's why the water quality standards at times we find conflicts with them. But our state government, DEQ, has identified these water quality standards and compared these standards to streams. And they have come up with those standards based on if the water body meets these standards, then the water body will be meeting the beneficial uses. And the most sensitive beneficial use is the fish and other aquatic beneficial uses. So if the water body we're operating under the theory that if the water body is meeting water quality standards, then it's meeting those beneficial uses. Now, if the water body is meeting those water quality standards, and because it's meeting those water quality standards, it's therefore not meeting beneficial uses because it's gone beyond what, you know, supporting those beneficial uses, like the temperature is now too cold to support some fish species that thrive in higher temperatures. Well, you know, that's definitely something that we need to work out. But currently, our state government is operating under the theory that if the water quality standards are met, the beneficial uses will be met, and those species will thrive.
Representative Thompson.
This is not directly to this bill, but there is, you've touched on something I think that in my mind is dealing in the ocean. It may apply in streams, and I wish we had the research and time to get in and study it, and I hope we will in the future. A lot of streams in the state, we may find that just being cold enough is not productive. It's a case where we may have streams that are cold in one area and warm in another area, and then that transition zone is the critical habitat for fish. We haven't done that type of research in the ocean. First, everybody assumed years ago that in order to be good for salmon, the water had to be so cold. But what we found out later on was it wasn't the fact that the water was at a certain temperature. It was that the transition zone was there in the ocean, was where the fish were. And if we get into doing research in this area, we may find that some of these streams that we assumed had to have cold water and did have to have a transition zone in them to be the most productive. So,
Representative Cruz?
I got confused. I like the best reasons there, but if Representative Thompson wants to define upsetting resource waters is those that are so pure they won't support any life. I think I should go along with that.
I think I want to go the other way.
Pete Test?
Yeah. Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Pete Test, Associate Director of Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. Just briefly on this bill, a couple of questions that I've had in the past. One, the Clean Water Act demands that all the streams in Oregon, one way or another, meet water quality standards. There's no way this bill in any way affects that demand. We have to do it. This bill seeks to find those streams that are kind of those waters that are unique and best of the best, again, as we keep talking about. We've made an effort with this bill to go beyond the unreasonable, to say that we want something in statute that does make certain that the best of the best are what we're going to be setting aside forever, because this sets it aside forever. So we have made some changes, and I think, as somebody would say, and I think Sandy Anderson, this should pass the red face test. The reason pristine is in there is because these waters, once designated, will mean that activities on them will have to be curtailed or stopped if there's a chance that they may degrade these waters before. That runs into a conflict that if it's already somewhat pristine and not much interference by man, we won't have to shut down a whole bunch of activities that are out there to stop the conflict that would come with this bill. So I think that's essentially something that should be in there to guarantee you that it is followed, and that is a direction that does keep us to the best of best. The next, if they are water quality limited or on the 303D list, I don't think any of you have not seen the newspaper that they basically say that 1,200 streams in the state of Oregon are polluted. Well, polluted waters don't seem to be those that should be considered essentially the best of the best. So this bill says if it's on that list of water quality limited, at least at the time that they are, they don't qualify to be this. Last but not least, there's a very productive aquatic habitat, and I also agree with Representative Thompson, but I would suggest a possible one, or it'd be two-word amendment, because it would be or unique. And yet, a very sterile aquatic community is unique. And if you added that to that characteristic, along with productive, it allows to pick up those unique and put Waldo Lake into the position where it would be more than that, because that is a unique aquatic habitat. And so I would suggest that. Question that Representative King questioned about federal lands and on federal lands and wilderness areas. Well, the fact that it's a wilderness area means nothing's happening in there but natural activities anyway. So it does pretty well protect the stream or water body that happens to be in the wilderness area. And the particular activities with these waters, because I can't think of the names just off the top of my head, and we're talking about them, is that national parks and federal lands be the priority areas to look for such waters. And they should be the priority ones to look to start setting them aside. So they're already kind of on the front line to be looked for. So therefore, you know, we think that this does have the end, and it does set three requirements that have to be met that are already basically in those requirements that DEQ has put together and said, that's our policy. It just takes their policy and basically puts it in statute, so it's not as easy to change as it might be to just do it through rulemaking or another process. We feel that guarantees that we get the best of the best. We're carefully trying to make sure it's those things that they've already decided on. So we feel now that we've really moved a long ways from what we had before to try and really balance what might be considered outstanding resource waters.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. I'd like to call Lori Onan, DEQ. And why don't you folks just stay right there in case we have more questions.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Lori Onan, Department of Environmental Quality. Mike Llewellyn, who's the administrator of our Water Quality Division, was here before you in two other hearings, and he couldn't be here today, but I did speak with him last night after I'd seen the gas-free amendments. And the first thing I wanted to say was that he informed me that the way the gas-free amendments are written on page 2, line 17 through 28 is that they still do preclude Crater Lake from being listed because it doesn't have the protective aquatic habitat for some of the reasons Representative Thompson was mentioning. The other thing I thought I should tell you is that while some of the language in here is in our draft criteria that we've been developing with the work group, the draft criteria are not, all of the different parts of the draft criteria don't have to be met as they do in the dash three amendments. Basically, again, to just go over a little bit more about outstanding resource water and what it's trying to do is identify one or more critical qualities of a very high quality water, such as high recreational value. If it had a high recreational value that you're going to designate, that might not be affected by aquatic habitat or pristine nature or other things. So this bill, again, it does limit what can be designated more than the current approach. And what I don't know, because we certainly haven't had a lot of time to think about it, is how it would affect, again, the governor's executive order that directs us to take a look at this as a tool for the Oregon Salmon Plan. I can't really give more information on that. We'd have to check more with some of the attorneys on our staff. So we still don't think this is the way we'd prefer to see this go. Thank you.
All right. Would you expand a little bit on waters, other waters than what has been presented here, that they still do have to meet the standards, the water quality standard? You mentioned recreational waters. They still have to meet the water quality standards, whether they are designated as pristine or not.
Mr. Chair, yes, you know, it's correct under the Clean Water Act, we're trying to get rivers and streams in the state to meet water quality standards. Outstanding resource waters is a way to look at what is really special quality that people feel deserves a higher level of protection, and that would be a small number, and we haven't got a list yet. We haven't designated any, but our view is it would make sense to continue working with the folks and communities to figure out, are there things that people feel is deserving of this higher standard, and look at what you put in place to detect a particular value that's very outstanding.
Any questions of the committee? Representative Morgan?
From the EPA's point of view, have they put the state under any kind of deadline to implement this program?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I'm not aware of any deadlines. This is a program I understand the EPA might be looking at again under anti-degradation. So it's something, looking at what EPA might be doing, things could change or they might take a, it's not static. And there is no deadline that I'm aware of.
Representative Lundquist?
Thank you. On the chart that Ms. Wilkinson has talks about the confusion or maybe the details of that, would DEQ agree that on that particular chart, Crater Lake could be listed? And if what's the difference? Apparently, we have a difference of opinion over one bill here that says some are saying that they can be, you know, identified and that you're saying they're not. So, could you speak to that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lundquist, the difference is that our draft criteria are not that you have to meet every single criteria, but that you would look at the, let's say you look at Crater Lake and you'd say, what is the outstanding value? Probably there would be the clarity of the water. Now, that doesn't relate to aquatic habitat, but this bill would require aquatic habitat to be one of the criteria that has to be met before you designate, where we would say it's just one of different criteria that could apply to a water body, depending on what the outstanding value is. Again, there it would probably be clarity of water, which doesn't necessarily relate to the habitat.
Could the other one respond to that if they'd like to?
If you accept my conceptual amendment that says unique, it would accept Crater Lake because it is extra clear and an interesting, different aquatic habitat. And that's why I mentioned that, because as I agree with Representative Thompson that it was too limited to just say productive, but if you add unique there, then it kind of clears that up and allows many lakes that might potentially have some unique characteristic into the picture.
I read Senator Tarnow, King, and then Thompson. Senator Tarnow?
Does DEQ feel that if a stream is water quality limited or 303D listed, that it should not be considered as a outstanding resource?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tarnow, at this time, that is one of the policies that we're looking at. That we have taken a position that it should be high-quality water and not water quality limited to be outstanding. If that's something that's adopted in a policy or rule, that could change. But that's what we said at this point.
Let me clarify, Mr. Chair, so you have not actually come out with a positive or negative statement on that in that regard yet?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tarnow, we haven't. The Environmental Quality Commission has not adopted any guidelines or criteria yet. It's the product of the work group has been shown to them, but they haven't acted on it.
Senator Tarnow, I'm not sure that the ETC will actually adopt the criteria. This program is being put together by policy, not administrative rule. Now, ETC, as far as my understanding is, ETC does have to approve of designations and the management plans that will go along with those. But I'm not sure that EQC is going to actually be adopting the criteria that DEQ is establishing. And I'm, as far as the meeting water quality standards issue, it is my understanding that DEQ is taking the position right now that water bodies need to meet water quality standards in order to be listed. However, that was not their position to begin with. They have come to that conclusion. Nationally, you know, this stems from the Clean Water Act, so other states are putting these programs together as well. Nationally, not everyone in EPA agrees that that should be a criteria for designating outstanding resource waters. So I believe that there will be pressure in the future for DEQ to change its current administrative rule, which would allow it the flexibility of designating water bodies that are water quality limited.
Senator King?
My question is along that line. My memory is when we started dealing with this bill in committee that Chairman Ferrioli had said that the task was given to DEQ maybe 10 years ago to define high quality waters, and that hasn't been done yet. But then in ways from these natural resources, my understanding was that DEQ testified that they haven't been budgeted money to be able to affect that process. To Ms. Hammond, is that an actual situation that in order to have gotten to a point where you could, do that clarification, you would have needed some funding to get there, but that funding hasn't come forward?
Mr. Chair, Representative King, I believe what I understood most recently from Mr. Llewellyn is that given the different workloads that we have and working on the 303D list and working on the water quality improvement plans and under the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watershed, that the key thing that we'd be looking at with outstanding resource waters now is, again, following the governor's executive order to see if that can be used as a tool in some cases, and that we hope to do that by the middle of the summer. Beyond that, I think we felt that doing a lot of work on designating outstanding resource waters would be somewhere further down the road, again, based on resource use and focusing on other things before spending a lot of resources on this. We have worked to do the criteria through the work group, but we don't have plans to move forward aggressively with any designations at this time.
And as a follow-up, then, if we're able to, give a working guideline, legislatively, versus you're coming up with it scientifically and administratively, we could have some cost savings, currently in terms of at least having something to operate on.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, I believe the issue is when you come to doing the actual designations, you would have to follow the criteria set out in the rule or whether it was in statute. That's where the time-intensive work would come in, because we don't believe that we're just going to sit down and slap down a designation. We would go through a process. We would work with the communities and stakeholders. We would talk to them about what values you know, there are to be protected. It would, we figure it would be an 18-month process to do that. And so it's something that, again, is kind of down the road in terms of the actual designation.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to ask Glenn Spain to come forward, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Glenn Stain. I'm Northwest Regional Director for the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations. We've been following the discussion on this bill very closely. I want to remind the committee, lest we forget it in the minutiae of drafting, that the whole purpose behind this bill is to protect the best remaining waters of the state. Those are an incredibly valuable economic resource. Of course, we're concerned for fish, since we're commercial fishermen, but it's of concern to farmers, it's of concern to anyone downriver, because water flows downhill. We have a lot of cleanup problems, and the more we can protect the headland waters, the better we will be off in terms of our whole economy. The original bill language, of course, was pretty awful, requiring it to be 2% of the nation's top quality waters and things like that would basically trade off our water against Ohio's, Nebraska's, everybody else's. I don't think any of Oregon's waters could have met all of those criteria. I like to see the Dash 3 amendment. That, I think, is certainly going in the right direction. I have some concern about the last provision on that, that's subsection 5C, where we still are qualifying it perhaps overly much with the word extremely. And I'm aware of the problem raised by Representative Thompson. What I would propose there is that we substitute an or rather than an and in terms of productive fish habitat or productive aquatic habitat. So that would require grammatical change at the beginning. So I would suggest the following language for that subsection 5C. They are of extremely high quality or very productive aquatic habitat. That includes Waldo Lake. That will include a crater lake, but it will also include productive habitat areas that are needed and necessary under the Oregon plan. So I think that will solve the conundrum that people feel here, that or language, so that either they are high quality or productive aquatic habitat.
Thank you very much.
And I hope those comments are helpful.
Questions? I'm very old.
Mr. Chairman, Stan, do you remember the 10 bodies of water that were nominated for designation as ORV?
Frankly, I don't. But Waldo Lake, I believe, was one of them.
Waldo and Crater, I think, were.
They were in the top 10. They would ordinarily be because they're some of the best waters in the nation, really.
I just wondered if that would give folks a kind of a general feel for the type of water bodies you would.
That there are four pristine lakes in the world, and Waldo and Crater Lake are two of them. Lake Tahoe is the third, and Lake Baikal in Soviet Union and Russia.
I assume we did not nominate Lake Baikal and Lake Tahoe.
I'm going to close the public hearing and open the... And I'm going to open the work session on Senate Bill 1161. Mr. Strain, I should clarify, if you saw some snickering, it was not you. They sent me a signed petition that they want to get on and start voting on some bills. So. I clarify, I said 1161, I meant 1166.
Not sure what the procedure is, but if I remember right, you can sign a letter to the chair requesting a bill to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
How many members did it take? And this committee was 14. We're starting to get this.
My co-chair says we're losing control. Adjourn the meeting quick. What are your wishes?
Let's hear it.
I was first.
No, I've been waiting since before.
We're going to send our turn off first. He's older.
I kind of like the suggestion that... Out of order. I kind of like the suggestion Mr. Spain just raised about using the word or in that particular section of the bill. And I kind of...
Okay. I think Representative Thompson has some suggestions.
Well, I have a suggestion, and it kind of incorporates what Pete said, and maybe Pete can respond to it. But in Section C, line 27 of Senate Bill 1166-3, I would propose an amendment, exceptional amendment, that says, provided extremely high quality water or very productive habitat, or our unique waters of the state of Oregon, or our unique waters. It incorporates what both of them said. It gives a little more flexibility, and I think that's what's going to require for this to work, is flexibility.
Any other discussion? Representative King?
Those suggested wordings, yeah, might very well work. They're somewhat subjective. High quality and unique, and I think what we're trying to point out, you know, is what we're, you know, if it is very pure water, that's something that we want to include. So I'm wondering if, you know, somehow we can include the wording to indicate that, you know, that some of those waters be included because they are so pure.
That's why the word unique were used to try to cover that.
Any other discussion?
Chair, was that in the form of a conceptual amendment?
I would like to have it in the form of a conceptual amendment. Okay. See how it applies.
The code of words is unique.
Do we hear more discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
Let's vote on the conceptual amendment.
I'm going to ask the staff to restate the motion then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The motion would be to conceptually amend the -3 amendments. If you look on page 2, starting on line 27, sub C would say provide extremely high quality water or very productive habitat or our unique waters of the state.
Sure, do you leave out a flag?
That state your, I think, yeah, they are.
Distracted me. Did you put the word aquatic habitat in there?
No.
No, sir. I eliminated the word aquatic.
Could you say it again? I'm sorry. That was my fault.
Oh, is that your motion, sir?
Okay.
The staff's going to read it again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The actual motion would be, they are, sub C, 127, they are of extremely high quality water or very productive habitat or are unique waters of the state.
I had written aquatic, but I'm not sure there.
I like aquatic.
I think a lot of aquatic needs to be in there.
Yeah. Aquatic habitat?
Yeah, aquatic habitat.
Okay.
Okay.
So in that case, it would be very productive aquatic habitat.
Yeah.
Cool, let's vote.
Are you ready for a motion, Representative Pierce?
We got the motion.
If I could get a comment on the record. My since my concern was pure, you know, purity, it's, I would have to imagine that pure water would have, you know, high quality water would include pure water. So,
President Thompson, would you like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to conceptually amend Senate Bill 1166-3 to include the words that you just repeated. And bring that amendment in. I forget the exact terminology. Conceptually amended it.
Okay.
Three amendments into it. Conceptually amended.
So, as I understand, we first have to conceptually amend, then we have to approve the amendment, and then we have to approve the bill. Is there any opposition to the conceptual language? If not, motion carries.
I'd like to put the -3 amendments into Senate Bill 1166.
-3. So you heard the motion on the -3. Is that as conceptually amended? Is there any opposition to that motion?
I'm going to pull down.
Let the record show that Representative Leonard votes no. Any other opposition? Motion carries. Would you like to move the bill?
I'd like to move Senate Bill 1166 to the floor as amended by the Dash-3 Amendment with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Is there any opposition to this motion? But we're voting. Is there any opposition to the motion? Representative Leonard opposes the motion. Is there any other opposition? Let's have the staff take the roll, please.
Aye.
Motion carries. Representative Thompson, would you carry that on the House floor? And Representative Ferriola, would you carry it on the Senate?
Carry it. You know, probably should have Representative Cruz, because this really is one of his big issues.
Would you like to carry this, Representative Cruz?
Sure, I'd be
okay. We open the work session on House Bill 2881. Is there a discussion? Or do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Representative Cruz?
I move Dash-2 amendment to House Bill 2881.
Staff needs to clarify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I just wanted to point out whether or not you wanted to consider on line 5 of the Dash-2 amendment whether or not you wanted the word joint as far as the designation of the appropriate interim committee.
Mr. Chair, I withdraw my motion, and I move to conceptually amend the Dash-2 amendment to House Bill 2881 by removing the word joint from line 5 on the first page of the amendment.
You heard the motion. Any discussion?
Reason why, Mr. Chair? Flexibility.
Chair, yes, Senator Tarnow, that this would require a joint committee be designated by the Speaker and the President. There are very few joint committees, this being one of them, but it's just a matter of whether or not you want to give leadership the flexibility to appoint another interim committee.
Fine, Mr. Chair. You heard the motion. Any more discussion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash-2 amendment as conceptually amended to House Bill 2881.
Motion. Any discussion? Will clerk call the roll?
This is the Dash-2.
Oh, excuse me. This Dash-2. Is there any opposition to the motion? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2881 as amended and conceptually amended to the floor to be passed recommendation.
I've heard the motion. Any discussion? Clerk call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Representative Cruz, would you like to carry this one as well? Two on the Senate side. Senator Carno, would you like to carry this one? Thank you. With that, we adjourn the meeting.
From now on, Mr. Co-Chair, we will send you a petition sooner in the meeting.